For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Acts chapter 12. Wednesday night, I introduced a thought and preached around a theme. I preached in Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount, and the pattern of prayer that our Lord gave us in the Sermon on the Mount. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I preached on that, taught on that, and then I introduced a thought that I thought I'd like to carry through the spring months and weeks ahead leading up to our revival. And what is it? What is the greatest work of the church? Well, I guess that's debatable, but of course the Great Commission is the greatest work of the church. But what is it? Does prayer prepare us for a greater work? Someone said, no, prayer is the greater work. And I thought about, and I introduced some subjects and things that we should be praying for. I said that I'm praying in the weeks ahead. I'm praying for someone special. I'm praying for something specific. I'm praying for somewhere for revival to occur. And I introduced some places like that. And I thought in the next few weeks I might just preach around that theme, I'm praying. And can I challenge you to do the same thing? Jeremiah the prophet said in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, God said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Sometimes people ask you, how you doing? And we tell them, you know, and I guess if someone asks you, you merit that opportunity to tell them. But how about this? When someone asks you, how you doing? Well, I'm praying. I'm praying. There's much to pray about in these days, isn't there? There's many to pray for. There's much to pray about. There are many burdens that people are carrying. And this morning, I thought I would carry that theme further into this month, and especially with missions. I mean, whatever we're doing for missions, it needs to be, the groundwork needs to be laid through prayer. Our faith promise, thank God last year, our faith promise, we exceeded our goal. I think our goal was around 120,000. And through faith promise giving, even with COVID and all of that, we were able to, I think, exceed 132,000, and we reached that goal prior to the first week of March. So God's been good to us, and you've been faithful to give. But all that we do should be predecessed by prayer. I heard Adrian Rogers preaching the other day on the radio, and I loved what he said. And in fact, I loved it so much, I pulled over and wrote it down on a napkin. He said this, we don't name it and claim it. We believe it and receive it. He says this, God names it and we claim what he names. God names it, we claim what God names. God's not a genie up in heaven that we're bossing around, you know. God is our God. He's our creator. He's our savior. And we can go to him with all of our burdens. And this morning I'm praying. Are you praying? Let's be praying people. And this morning I want us to develop, and maybe tonight, this thought of I'm praying for someone. First of all, I'm praying for someone special. All of us have someone special in our life. I'm praying today for someone special. In Acts chapter 12, we see the church was praying for someone very special. In verse 1, the Bible says, now about that time Herod the king, and he was a wicked king, we know, stretched forth his hands to vex or to persecute certain of the church. And notice what he did in verse 2. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. The other James would be the half-brother of our Lord that would become the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. And we see him in Acts chapter 15. This is the other James. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. So it was around the Passover time, and when he had apprehended him, he arrested him. It says he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him. 16 soldiers were given the duty of guarding the apostle Peter. And it says, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, it says in verse 5, therefore was kept in prison. But notice this, verse 5, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Would you circle those two words at the end of that sentence in verse 5, for him? The scripture says prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. They were praying for someone special. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us to pray. Teach us to pray. Lord, how often we fail in this area. Lord, we think of what Dr. Rice used to say, all of our failures are prayer failures. I pray that, dear God, today that we can honestly say, I'm praying. I'm praying for someone special. I'm praying for some place to see salvation. I'm praying that somehow miraculously you would intervene in a certain situation. I'm praying for something specific, Lord, whatever it is. And Lord, as we think of praying for someone special today, would you put some people on our hearts today to pray for? Lord, that in the weeks ahead, you would tender their hearts and prepare some fallow ground and make it hallowed ground, heavenly ground, holy ground, where you save someone from their sin. I pray that you'd help us today. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you praying for someone special? Notice it says in verse 5, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. For him. There was a time probably that you were on a prayer list of somebody. It may have been a grandma or grandpa. It might have been a godly aunt or uncle. It might have been mom or dad. I think all of us were on prayer lists for mom and dad. It may have been some friend that brought you to Christ or prayed you to Christ. Last week there in Pensacola, I met Pastor Rick Finley. I'd never met Rick Finley before. It'd been many years there. I think it's Fellowship Baptist Church. I forget the name of the church there in Durham, North Carolina. And we had a common friend, Eddie Ray Goddard. And Brother Goddard had been a part of that church and served there and grew by leaps and bounds in his early days when God had saved him. And Brother Finley and I remembered someone special in our lives. I promise you that someone in Raynell, West Virginia was praying for Eddie Ray Goddard. Probably many. Probably you were on a prayer list at some time of someone that was praying for you. You know, someone special. And in this passage, it wasn't someone that was unsaved. It was someone that was already saved. It was Simon Peter. And Simon Peter, the scripture says that this wicked man named King Herod had already martyred James, the brother John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews. They loved blood. They loved to see others suffer and all of that. And they were against this new living way, and they fought against it. Many of them did, lewd fellows, the Bible says, of the baser sort. And so he saw that it pleased the Jews, and so he arrested Peter, put him in jail, and he intended to kill Peter and martyr Peter just as he had killed James. But God had other plans. But the amazing thing is, how did God intervene? God could have intervened anyway, but God used the prayers of the saints of God at John Mark's house praying for him to see him released, to see him come forth, and that God would get the glory. They were praying for someone special. It says in verse 5, without ceasing. Notice, prayer was made, and I like to break this up. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I want to challenge you today to be praying for someone special in the days ahead. It may be someone special who needs the Lord. It may be someone special in your family. It may be someone special in the Lord's work. Simon Peter certainly was someone that was special. Someone special. Someone special. I think of if someone's praying for you, you are special. If you have someone praying for you, you're a special person. I mean, imagine that someone would lift you up and lift me up before the throne of grace and remember us by name. The Bible speaks of many examples of those who had a burden to pray for others. Mays Jackson, evangelist Mays Jackson, who's been in heaven for many years from down in Georgia, an old Southern preacher, great preacher of the gospel, and his recordings are still on the radio. And he used to preach a program called the Truck Driver Special. Anybody ever heard that? Any of you truck drivers? Okay. And for many years, I thought he was a black preacher. I mean, he sounded just like a black preacher, man. I mean, he'd preach. I mean, and God used him in a great way. I went to hear him at Eddie Goddard's church in Raynell years ago. And soon I drove up over Sewell Mountain, lost a hubcap on our 78 Buick Regal. And I'll never forget that trip. But it was good to meet Mays Jackson. When Matt was 3 months old, born in January, and we had a March meeting at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church years ago, old brother Mays met us after church, and we proudly took little Matt up there, nearly three months old, and introduced him to the preacher and showed him off a little bit. And Brother Mays, in his unusual way, said, "Have you dedicated that baby to God yet?" And we said, "Well, no." Well, he said, "Let's just do it right now." And he laid his both hands on our son's head and prayed and asked God to use him and bless him and to anoint him. And I believe that's helped. Amen. And I thank God, I never forget that. But Brother Mays used to preach a message on someone touched heaven for me. He preached that someone touched heaven for me. And I thought about that old message. Probably you could find it somewhere online. Someone touched heaven for me. In Acts chapter 12, someone touched heaven for Peter. Simon Peter was in trouble. I mean, it was a dangerous situation. It was a desperate situation. Here he was in prison, and the Bible says prayer was wont to be made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. By the way, Peter was special. Peter was as special as Dorcas had been back in Acts, wherever it was, Acts chapter 8 or 9. When Dorcas got saved and Peter raised her after she got saved and passed away, became sick and died. And Peter went up there and raised her from the dead. And he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she did. She was special. They didn't know that God was going to raise her from the dead, but he did. You're special if someone's praying for you. And that person, here's the thing about in God's economy, in God's church, everyone's special. I mean, from the smallest little kid that rides in on the bus to the oldest member, to the richest, from the richest to the poorest, whoever those are, I don't worry about that. But prayer was made for him. He was special. The church had interceded. God had intervened. And the Lord interrupted Herod's plans. You say, what happened after that? I'm not going to read all the verses. But it says, after they'd prayed, here Peter was fast asleep. He's laying between two soldiers, chained. The Bible says he's got chains on his hand. And he's laying between two soldiers, 16 of them, 16 soldiers to guard him. I don't know what they thought, if they were going to assault the prison or something. 16 soldiers gather around him, one on each side, and Peter's keeping them awake snoring. The peace that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here the preacher, he wasn't worried about it. He was fast asleep. He thought, hey, if this is my last night, if they're going to drag me out here after the Passover, if they're going to kill me, let it be, but I'm going to get me a good night's sleep. I don't want to die with any bloodshot eyes. Amen. Here he was, and while he was sleeping, the angel of the Lord came into that prison and the Bible says smote him on the side, woke him up. He thought he was dreaming. You know the story. He thought he was dreaming. The angel said, "Get up out of there." And his chains fell off. "Get up out of there." He said, "Put your shoes on. Get your coat on." He said, "Okay. Hey, if this is my last dream, it sure is nice. If I'm going to die tomorrow, this is a pretty good dream." And so the angel took him by the hand and leads him out there, smacks him, wakes him up, said, "Get up, Peter." Takes him out. They went through a couple of different gates, and finally they come to the main gate of the city. It opens of its own accord.
God just miraculously leads him out. It's all found there in Acts chapter 12. And the Bible says when he comes to himself, he realizes that God had intervened. What does he want to do? He goes and finds those that were praying for him. He goes and finds those that were naming him in prayer. He was asleep, but they were not. They were at John Mark's house. They were there at Mary's house. They were praying. They were having an all-night prayer meeting. Look, when it's someone special in your life, you pray harder. When it's someone special in your life, suddenly your TV shows don't mean anything. How much money you have in the bank doesn't matter. And we know that anyway, but it becomes even more clear at that time, doesn't it? And they're praying. God intervened. And Peter, it says in verse 11, and Peter was come to himself. He said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. What was the expectation of the people of the Jews? Their expectation was that Peter was going to die soon. They were going to get to see him die. And when they killed Christians in those days, it was an unpleasant thing. But the bloodthirsty crowd that crucified Jesus loved that. They loved stuff like that. But God intervened. God interrupted Herod's plans. And the angel of the Lord came and as a ministering spirit and delivered him. We see prayer was made. Secondly, we see his purpose, God's purpose was discovered. And Peter's purpose was discovered. It says in verse 12, when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. John Mark didn't make it except through about one half of a missionary journey, the first one, but he did make it to the prayer meeting. Amen. And John Mark says, many were gathered together praying. I don't know how many is, but many were gathered together praying. The majority of the church was there. There was someone special. And maybe if you'd have called one of them or said, hey, we're having a reunion. We're doing this. We're having a special. We're playing volleyball down by the Sea of Galilee. No, they'd have said, no, I'm praying. I'm praying. Someone special is in trouble. Did you know that God responds directly to the specific prayers of his saints? This is the confidence that we have in him. This is the confidence. And we'll read that in just a moment. 1 John chapter 5. But Peter said, the Lord hath sent his angel. The Lord hath delivered me from the expectation of the people. John Mark said, let's be praying. Mary said, let's be praying for someone special. Later in verse 21, the worship of a king was stopped. God took Herod out. The word of God grew and multiplied. In verse 24, the work of God was empowered anew and afresh. I want you to think about someone special. Now we know that Simon Peter was someone special because he was really one of the inner three, Peter, James, and John. We know that he would preach at Pentecost. We know that that God would forgive him. In John chapter 21, when the scripture says there after Jesus' resurrection, after Peter denied the Lord, he said, I go a-fishing. He tried to quit. They had seven backsliders in the boat, and they're all bailing together. And that night, they caught nothing. And the scripture says there, that morning, as they looked across the Sea of Galilee, saw through the hazy fog there, Jesus is over there with some fish, had a fish fry over there on the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus said, have you caught any, children, have you caught any fish? Have you caught any? And Peter said, no. They were about half, well, they weren't half backslid, they were backslid. They'd been up all night, hadn't caught anything. They were cold, they were damp. And he says, well, come and dine. And John, who knew the Lord better than any of them, leaned over and he said, Peter, it's the Lord. And Peter, who had denied the Lord, cursed and swore three times, dived out of the boat and swam to get to Jesus. And Jesus gave him opportunity to rededicate his life to him. Peter was special. Peter was special in Dorcas's life. Peter helped raise her from the dead, God did through his prayers. Peter was special at the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Remember when the Gentiles received the word of God and they're all sitting there and Peter comes in, they said, "Man, we've been waiting on you, Peter. Tell us the good news." Wouldn't that be great? God moved in there and those Italians got saved, those Gentiles got saved, and they had a time. God used him. God had used him there on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 when Peter stood and didn't preach that long. Eddie Goddard used to say, he'd say, "Rick, you preach too long." He said, "If you can't strike oil in 30 minutes, don't bore him to death." Peter stood up. I don't know how long he preached, but when he preached, the Bible says, "They that gladly received his word were baptized, and the Lord added to the church those that were being saved daily. 3,000 got saved." We're talking about someone special here. You say, "Preacher, I've never had 3,000 saved in my whole life." May I say, you're someone special. You say, "I've never led anybody to Jesus Christ one-on-one," but you're someone special. You say, "Preacher, I there's a lot of things I've not done that Simon Peter did." Yes, but you're someone special. You're a promise. You're a possibility. You're potentially a great servant of God. We need to be praying for you. We need to be praying for each other. Someone special. He would be used by God one great last time. At least that's recorded. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but here in Acts chapter 12, notice the funny thing was when he arrived at John Mark's house, they were still praying. I preached on this back in 2019, pre-COVID. And you know what? Post-COVID, it's still good. They were all in there praying, and Peter's all excited. By the way, he gets out of jail. Where does he go? He goes to where they're praying for him. He didn't send a thank you note. He went to express his thankfulness as they prayed. And he comes up and he starts banging on the door in the middle of the night. Rhoda, a young lady, comes to the door. And she didn't even open the door. And she was so excited hearing his voice, she knew his voice. And she ran back in and she said, "Peter's out on the front porch. God's answered our prayers." They said, "No, keep praying. Don't bother me, Rhoda. I'm praying." "Hey, don't get in the way. We're praying." "Well, God answered your prayer." The answer to your prayer is standing on the front porch. They said, "Keep praying." They're still praying. And the Bible says Peter continued knocking. He can hear him in there. "Oh, God! Save Peter. God, keep him away from the sword of Herod. Oh, God, help him get out. God, we need Peter. He's someone special." Rhoda comes up tugging on. "Don't bother me. I'm praying." I don't know, two or three times that happens. And they said, "Well, if he is out there, it's his ghost." They believed God for a lot, didn't they? But we're just like that. We're like that. God always comes through. God always saves those that express even childlike faith toward him. He keeps knocking, and finally they come to the door and they're just over the top excited. The Bible says in Acts chapter 12 and verse 16, Peter continued knocking. When they'd opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. We should never be astonished when God answers prayer. "But he, hearkening unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place." Will you mark that in your Bible in verse 17? Now, I'm not a great Bible scholar, and I probably should have studied this a little harder. But as far as I know, until Acts chapter 15... Peter's not mentioned again in the entire book of Acts. "And he departed and went into another place." It says in verse 19, "When Herod had sought for him and found him not, He examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. Evidently, that's where Peter had gone. Let me give you a couple of thoughts about praying for someone special. I said that he would be used by God one great last time. You say, when was that, Brother Rick? In Acts chapter 15, just Paul and Barnabas were there, and it was a monumental, precedent-setting time in the church. They were arguing between the Jews that had gotten saved. They were wanting to keep part of the Mosaic law and circumcision and all of that. And they were saying, listen, these Gentiles that get saved, even if we let them in, they've got to follow the Mosaic law. Yes, they need to accept Jesus, but they wanted to mix law and grace. And Paul said in Galatians 2, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live by faith, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, it's not by works, it's not by circumcision, it's not by law, it's not by Moses. We love Moses and Abraham, we love the law, but it's by grace that we're saved. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. God would use Simon Peter to step up. We haven't heard from him since Acts chapter 12. We haven't heard from him since the prayer meeting at John Mark's. He's not even recorded in those chapters, but suddenly in Acts chapter 15 and verse 7, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And he stood up and gave testimony. And as far as I can tell, that's the last thing he does. And he steps off the pages of the book of Acts. You say, where'd he go? I don't know, but I'm sure he was busy for God. He wrote 1 Peter and he wrote 2 Peter. And in Galatians chapter 2, Paul mentions this. He said that Peter was primarily the apostle to the Jews and that Paul was primarily the apostle to the Gentiles. He was someone special. You Sunday school teachers, there's someone special sitting in your class every Sunday. You say, Brother Rick, we haven't had that many in our class lately. We've just been having two and three, but there might be a Simon Peter sitting there. I mean, you might have a John Dillinger, or you might have a John Hall sitting in your class. You say, preacher, we haven't been running that many on the bus, but there's someone special on that bus. There's someone special that needs Jesus, and their mom and their dad need Jesus, and their grandma and grandpa need Jesus, and their neighbors need Jesus, and their brothers and sisters need Jesus. Wednesday night, we didn't break any records on our bus. Brother Nathan and I were talking, coming back, and I'll tell you what, though, the devil was active. That's when you realize you must be doing something. Boy, Satan sure is fighting. I don't know how things went in all the Bible clubs Wednesday night, but I know on the Fairplane route, the devil was fighting. But we ought to expect that. But there's someone special here today. You say, preacher, I don't know the books of the Bible. I can't sing a special. I don't have much money to give. You're someone special. Why? Because Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Simon Peter would be used by God at least one great last time in Acts chapter 15. From Acts chapter 13, the emphasis shifted to Paul and his missionary journeys. That didn't mean that God had forgotten Simon Peter. I want you to notice this, God has moved to intervene on their behalf. When we pray, when you make that statement, I'm praying for someone special. Think of this, God hears their name before his throne. When you're praying for someone special, God, the God of heaven, the Genesis 1-1 God, the God that's going to close the curtain on the whole thing in Revelation chapter 22, that God, that God hears the name of someone special that you're praying for. We underestimate the power of prayer. We underestimate the power and the significance of standing between heaven and earth for someone else. We underestimate, as Brother Mays used to say, touching heaven for them. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I remember when Fisher Hunt got saved, I went over to his house, he and Shirley's, many years ago. But you know what prefaced that soul-winning moment when he got saved there in his living room? You know what prefaced that? Some young adults got burdened for his soul. Steve and Megan, Randy Anderson, that Sunday school class, they prayed. They were praying round the clock. They were praying for his salvation. You know what? That was something special to God. That was something special that Fisher Hunt's name was mentioned before the throne room of heaven. When you say, I'm praying for someone special, everybody that you're praying for is special. God hears their name before His throne. Think about that. Think about this. God is moved to intervene on their behalf. You say, God must be pretty busy. I heard a judge one time. We were down in Charleston. If I said his name, many of you would remember him. Sharon would know him, I think. He didn't have a great respect for the things of God, but I remember this. Several people had written letters on behalf of this person. And he said, I'll tell you what. He said, God must be awfully busy. God must be awfully busy because all these people praying for this person. And he kind of made a snarky remark. And I thought, well, thank God. There's a judge higher than you, brother. Amen. That God would listen. That God would dip His ear. That God would intervene. That God would interrupt. Did God know Simon Peter was in prison? Yes. Did God know James had died? Yes. Did God know there was a prayer meeting going on at John Mark's house? Yes. That's the thing that got God's attention. God is moved to intervene on the behalf of those someone special people. I'm praying. You say, well, has it come to that? Yes, it's come to that. It's come to that. The greatest need of the hour is prayer. The greatest need of the hour. D.L. Moody said this, every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling Christian. We have not because we ask not. God has moved to intervene on their behalf. What does it mean when it says for Him? God's moved to intervene on their behalf. What does it mean when we say for Him? God hears their name. As we're praying for someone special, what does that person need from God? As we intercede, Moses interceded on behalf of a nation. Do they need salvation? We know that someone's special. Everyone's special in God's eyes. When Jesus said to Nicodemus, He said, you must be born again. You must be. He could have said that to the man in rags that was begging by the gate there on the eastern side of Jerusalem. Does that person need an intervention? A lot of times we want to intervene in people's lives. Sometimes people need an intervention. Think about this. What if God intervened? What about God? What about if we trusted God? I'm praying that God would intervene on their behalf. Does that person need an interruption? God can divinely bring an interruption. He brought an interruption to America for 2 years with the COVID virus. He interrupted our lives. How have we done with that? Does that person need influence from heaven? What about you and what about me? Can we influence them? Does that person need inspiration? Do they need an encourager like a Barnabas just to put your arm around them and say, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I love you. When you say, I'm praying for you, you're saying, I love you. That's what you're saying. There's nothing greater than that. There's nothing greater than lifting up their name before God. Does that person need an interpretation? I think of Apollos in the Bible, who was a flowery, great orator, a great speaker. But he had no idea what he was preaching. I mean, he could deliver it, but it took a godly couple in the early church to take him aside and say, Apollos, let us show you the way of God more perfectly. Once he got his doctrine straight, man, he took off like a shot out of a gun. Maybe someone needs you to help interpret some things. Maybe someone special needs interference. In John chapter 1, the Bible says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You know what God did? God interfered. Israel had rejected all the things of God, but the Messiah came anyway. He came unto his own. His own received him not. Then he turned to the Gentiles, all of us, and he said, as many as received him, thank God, God intervened and God interfered. And we're part of that. Does that person need an interrogator? I think of Paul on the Damascus Road. Does that person need interaction? Maybe they're lonely. There are a lot of lonely people in this world. They just need someone to listen. Does that person need an interview? Moses was walking by the burning bush and God spoke to him out of that burning bush. And because he saw the bush was burning and he heard a voice but saw no man, he paused and sat down. He and God had quite a conversation there. God called him from the burning bush. I'm praying for someone special. Can I give you this thought? Not only when we're praying, we think about what does that person need from God? Peter needed a miracle of deliverance. God hears their name before his throne. God has moved to intervene on their behalf. We underestimate the power of prayer. But notice this, number six, there's a window of time that we each have on this earth. There's a window of time. I'm praying for you. Notice, if you will, in verses 16 and chapter 12 and verse 16, Peter continued knocking. He beckoned on them to hold their peace. He told how the Lord had delivered him. And no small stir the next day is what happened to Peter. And it says in verse 19, it says, verse 17, and he departed and went into another place. There's a window of time there. I believe that God is always speaking. He's always speaking from heaven. He's always speaking from His Word. He's always speaking through His Spirit. The truth is, there's a window of time that we'd best not harden our heart to the things of God. God was moving here. There was a window of time, and the Bible says there he went into another place. What would have happened if they had not prayed? I don't know, but the Bible doesn't tell us that. But they prayed. They prayed, and they continued praying. Someone special in your life. Someone special personally. It might be someone you're married to. It might be your children. It might be your parents. It may be someone in your family. It may be someone in your church. It may be someone in this state that you have a burden for. It may be a political figure. It may be someone nationally. It may be someone in the world. We're praying. I said in Sunday school, I don't think it'd be wrong for us to pray for Putin. Now, you pray it any way you want to pray. We know that the king's heart's in the hand of the Lord, and we can touch heaven for Vladimir Putin. I pray that God will kill him. I'll leave all that to God. We'll leave the killing to God. But I don't think it'd be wrong for us to ask God to intervene. There are a lot of Christians in Ukraine, a lot of Christians in Russia, a lot of missionaries there. A lot of salt and a lot of light. I'll tell you what, God put Nebuchadnezzar out of his mind, the king of the greatest empire that ever was known on this earth. There's yet to be the greatest one. God took that Babylonian king and put him out to pasture for 7 years. And he crawled around on his hands and knees and salivated and spit run out of the side of his mouth. And he ate grass like a donkey. His fingernails and toenails grew out and his hair grew out. He lost his mind. 7 years crawled around out there in the dirt. I'll tell you what, we have a great God in heaven. And you and I ought to be praying about all that. Never underestimate what God will do. Never underestimate what God can do. Joseph Stalin was about to take about 10 million more Jews out when God took him out with a stroke. We have a mighty king in heaven. I'm praying. I'm praying for someone special. Notice it says in Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, prayer was made for him. Prayer was made for him. Now right beside of that, 1 John 5:14 and 15. Let me leave this thought with you. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Of him. It's a long way from Acts chapter 12 to 1 John chapter 5. But I like those two phrases. First of all, it says in Acts 12, 5, for him, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And then in 1 John 5, 15, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. For him, of him. Someone special. Who are you praying for? For him. We're praying for him. And we realize whatever happens, it's going to be of him. When prayer is answered, it's going to be of him, for him. Of him, for him. For him, of him. Put those two phrases together, and you think about that this week. I'm praying. I'm praying for someone special. I can't think of anybody in jail right now, but I've got a whole lot of other folks that are special I'm praying for. Never underestimate it. God hears your prayers. And God is obligated and responsible to answer your prayers through His Son, Jesus Christ. He hears every prayer. He answers every prayer. Are you praying? For Him, of Him. For Him, of Him.